T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
.1057 FM, the Fan, Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath. Brewers pick up a win yesterday over the Cincinnati Reds. After losing the first two games of the series. But fear not, they are 6-7, which under this season's playoff structure would put them in the playoffs should the season ended today, which I suppose is still always a possibility, although things seem a little more uplifting and positive around the league than they did maybe a week ago today. Not for everybody. We'll get into that in a moment. But Adam McKelvey joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Do we think that the offense is out of this whatever slump they were in? A six-run, sixth inning yesterday wasn't just good to see because it was good to see it. It was good to see it because I saw the Brewers score six runs in an inning, Adam, where they did not need a home run to do so.
Yeah, it was like stacking good at-bat after good at-bat. And that's how Christian Yelich was saying, that's how they're going to get out of this. It's not going to be like one game where a couple of guys hit homers. It's going to be stuff like we saw yesterday. So I think they were encouraged by that. I mean, it's going to take some time, though, to say that this offense is clicking and functioning. I mean, the idea in not re-signing Moustakas and Grandal to those four-year deals and going instead with this array of players and platoons everywhere, it was kind of like the thought was you could get innings like this because you were going to have good matchups sort of throughout the course of an inning. And I think they anticipated more innings like that yesterday and way fewer strikeouts than they've had so far. And, you know, it was definitely a promising sign, but it's going to take, you know, it's going to take a week, a couple of weeks, whatever it is, of that sort of performance to make them feel better about this offense that they put together.
You know, some of the things that they've had to adjust here since Ryan Braun's injury and then Lorenzo Cain opting out, you look in center field where Avi Garcia is in line to get most of the starts out there. Is there anything else they can do or would do? I read some like trade deadline speculation, which I still, it shocks me that there is even trades that are going to happen this year. You watch my defense a little bit, I kind of get apprehensive there, but then you've got Mark Mathias, who's basically like if Zach Davies was an outfielder who's learning the position for his first time. I don't know. I feel like I thought Gamble would get more starts at center. I don't like Avi Garcia out there.
Well, you're not going to get the Lorenzo Cain, you know, play from Avi Garcia. You're going to get a great arm, which he's already been able to show on a couple of occasions, that probably a better arm than Lorenzo Cain. But you're not going to get the range, you know, balls that Lorenzo Cain turns into outs and has this way of making plays look easy that you come into the clubhouse in a normal year and guys are like, no, do not let him fool you. That was not easy. There's just going to be more balls are going to find the warning track, the wall, more hits are going to drop than would happen with Lorenzo Cain. And that's not insignificant. I was surprised when that's the the move that they made, I just assumed it was going to be Ben Gamel because he's a guy who runs around more. And you think of he's just more of a what we all think of as a center fielder. The idea was that because Garcia is going to be in there every day, they preferred to kind of put him in one spot, and they thought center field was the spot for him. So I guess, you know, let's see if that continues. You know, Ben Gamel is also cooled. So that's one of the reasons, you know, maybe why they did it is they saw a little bit of moving around with that spot in the order, and they put Mathias in there when they want the right-handed bat. And I give that guy credit. I mean, he never played the outfield before this season. And the Hernan Perez experience, where another guy who had no outfield experience, and they tried him out there, and they actually really liked the way he played. And I think they saw some Perez in Mathias. So I don't know. I give that guy so much credit for doing something that's got to be really uncomfortable, a little scary to go out there in a major league game, whether or not there's fans in the stands, to play a position you've never played before and hold his own out there and do well. So it's a little bit strange and unorthodox, but they love this team loves doing things like that.
You know, I bring up Avi Garcia before, not to pick on him, as we talked to Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Struck out 3 times yesterday. Okay. The team struck out 9 times. And if I have this right, they have struck out at least 9 times in every game they've played. There were 16 strikeouts maybe in Friday night's game. Is this a byproduct of what they're trying to do at the plate? Is this the way that baseball is just happening to work here in 2020? Because to strike out at least 9 times in every game, it's just, I mean, I get strikeouts are a part of it, but not with this frequency.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the way the game's been going for a long time, where strikeouts are just way more, a way bigger part of the game. And, you know, part of that is maybe the hitters, but look, part of it is, and I think we just gloss over this. Part of this is that the stuff that they're seeing is unlike the stuff that we saw. Like, we saw stuff like this as kids, but it was the very best pitchers in the entire sport. Now, every dude out of the bullpen is coming in and featuring stuff that when you and I were kids, Bart, would be the best stuff we saw in a week. So it is different. I don't think that should be understated, that this is it's different. And the other thing that's happening is, you know, they got ready in 3 weeks. And the things that we've seen are that the hitters are just – the offense is suppressed everywhere. And there's always you know, there you can find exceptions to that, you know, anywhere you look. But overall, offensive numbers are down. Pitching injuries are up. And I think both things probably are related to the fact that they did a 6-week spring training in 3 weeks. And we talked with Chris Hook about this yesterday. Because often you hear during spring training the complaint that spring training is too long. And for a lot of the hitters, it does feel like it's too long. They're ready to roll after a month or so. But I think what we're seeing here is that you need that time. Like, everybody may need that time to get ready. The pitchers to stay healthy and the hitters just to have a bulk 50 at-bats or so of live pitching under their belt before they go into regular season, because I you know, the strikeouts tell me that the pitchers are still ahead of the hitters even as we get into this thing.
Brewers have the Twins tonight. They'll start a 3-game set there, and then the Cubs, they'll take on Chicago once again. Bart Winkler here, Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. You know, you make the joke earlier about Mathias, but I think he has provided at least something that this team needed. We were talking earlier last week, maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday, where it looked like, and you know, a lot of the guys that we've gotten to know as fans are not on the team anymore, and even with Kane opting out and Thames being elsewhere and Aguilar, you know, having moved on, it seemed like a lot of these guys that really brought, you know, fun to the clubhouse were kind of missing. And we watched these Cubs games where the, you know, the dugout's going crazy, and then maybe the Brewers aren't up to that point. I hear Craig Counsell in some of these pregame interviews, and I know as reporters you're unable to be in there to really get a sense of the clubhouse, but it seemed like things were wearing on him a little bit, and it seemed like there were mental mistakes being made with this team. I think that, you know, maybe a guy like Mathias just showing how fun this game could be was needed for them, because it was getting to be at the point where I was thinking, at least, that this team just, it just seems like it's hard for them to play a game during everything that's going on.
Well, the word you're searching for but don't want to use, it sounds like it's boring. This team's a little more boring than other teams they've had in recent years.
Well, this team is, it seems boring, but also it seems like they're facing challenges that other teams didn't have to face, and maybe the strain of everything that they have to do, and are we going to play today, and that whole Cardinals series, it seems like the team might be a little more boring, but also they have to go through more mental like hurdles than any other squad too. So I don't know if they're going to have the opportunity to show how fun they can be.
Well, I think it comes down, and I think we've seen this in stretches all throughout the years, that when you don't hit, all of these other things come way more to the forefront. When you don't hit, you look lethargic. When you don't hit, the mistakes that probably every team is making, and that the Brewers have made when they're going good in the field, you know, Keston Hira bobbling balls, whatever the defensive thing is, stands out way more, because every run is so, you know, it kills you because you're not scoring them yourself. I think even on the pitching side, when you're not hitting, the pitching looks worse. Corbin Burns, you know, missing with one fastball to Jose Abreu ruins a game, even though Corbin Burns threw the hell out of the ball that night. And you think Burns is no good, but it's all tied back to the fact that your team's not hitting. I think the biggest cure for when a team looks like it's sagging is to start swinging the bat. I think back to, you know, having this conversation with Ned Yost, where we would ask him about, you know, what's the morale and questions like that, all the way back to Davey Lopes. When a team doesn't hit, they look really bad. So a six-run inning yesterday gets everybody going. The energy is going to be better. And look, I remember even in that opening series, Bart, where I went to the game at Wrigley Field on opening day, and that Cubs dugout, it was like a high school game. It was, you know, cheering every pitch, chants.
They were really.
What'd you say?
It was kind of like it's intimidating, I think, when you're across and the other team is like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And you're like, yay.
I know. And look, it was obvious that the Cubs, at least, and I think they've continued to do this, and partly they're playing really well. They're trying to like generate some of that energy that you're missing because you don't have the buzz in the stadium. The crowd noise is great. It helps. I think most guys like it in a way because it takes some of the edge off how weird this is, but it's still nothing compared to having fans in the stands. So the Cubs, for example, were trying to create that. And I asked Craig Counsell, you know, whether he thought they did a good job of it, and he didn't want to like praise the Cubs. But his point was that day, you know, basically he said, we didn't have anything, you know, we didn't have much to cheer about. That was the day Kyle Hendricks shoved and pitched a shutout against him. So, you know, teams are having to generate their own. I don't know how good a job the Brewers are doing of that, because they just, more often than not, they've had games where they're just not hitting. And I think, again, it comes back to that. And if they can get the bats going a little bit, look, Kane's out, Braun's out. That's just life. Yelich coming around is obviously huge. But they need to get some other guys going too. I mean, Hira's offensive numbers, when you stand back and look at them, have not been good. They've been underwhelming compared to what he is capable of. Omar Narvaez is going to be a way better hitter. Justin Smoke, who knows, but he's been their worst hitter. And it was really promising to see some things yesterday from him. And he's a guy, Bart, yesterday after the game, who talked about like trying to replace some of that energy that's missing. So they are all trying to figure this out together. But I promise you, I don't have the answer for how to make this happen. But if they start hitting a little bit, all of this stuff is going to look better.
You mentioned Corbin Burns. Do we have? And again, maybe it doesn't matter like it mattered in 1984. But do we have a role for him, or is he going to be this back end, you know, piggyback kind of guy? Because he gives up a home run, it kind of ruins things, but he came in a huge spot the other day, bases loaded, gets out of it. He looked really good. And I wonder what they're going to do with him.
I think they're going to do exactly what they're doing until they need him in the starting rotation again. And people can, I know a lot of people are not going to like that because they believe that a pitcher needs to have a quote unquote role. I think Chris Hook would just disagree with you, and they feel like Corbin Burns is plenty capable of doing this bouncing back and forth. And Chris Hook said yesterday morning that he's had a conversation with Burns. He thinks he can be really good in this tandem role. And I think Burns has shown over the last couple of years that he can be successful moving back and forth at times. In fact, he's probably been more successful in relief than he has so far as a starting pitcher for whatever reason. So I think that this is what they're going to do. I mean, we've got the rotation now for this Twin Series, and Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta are not in it. So they may need one of them to make a start here by the end of the week. But right now they are kind of going with this tandem. And the idea is that you start with, say, the Burns day. You start with Brett Anderson, a lefty who's a finesse guy, and you come back with Burns, who's a righty and has this insane slider and a fastball that acts like other fastballs don't because of the spin. It's just a totally different look, and you're trying to make the other team somewhat uncomfortable. And again, try to get some lineup, some matchups within the game that are in your favor because of the way the opponents set their lineup for a lefty starter. So it is, it's a different way of doing it. Sort of, you have seven starters, basically a couple of that are tandeming, later in the game. And that's just the way they're doing it right now. I will say, like, I will believe Corbin Burns is not going to be a major league starter at some point when his career is over and he hasn't been a starter. I still think the stuff is too good. And I think what we're watching is what happens all over baseball with really, really good pitchers, a guy learning how to do it. And it happens on the job as much happens in the minor leagues, and you get a guy ready. You got to pitch in the big leagues. You got to do it in order to do it. And I really think that that's what we're seeing. I know there's plenty of people who are down on Burns because when these starts happen, they sometimes don't go well. The stuff's too good. And I still think he's going to be a really good starter in the big leagues.
At what point do you think the Cardinals season gets pulled? I mean, they played five games. They played 55 games in 47 days.
No, they're not. Unless everything changes for everyone else, the Cardinals are not playing 60 games. Can they play enough games that it's okay? Can they get to enough games where you can sort of say everything else is, off this year?
Can we just blast them to the moon?
And that's just one of them.
Blast them to the moon? You want to blast them?
Send them to Korea, bring in the NC Dinos.
Honestly, Bart, I feel for them because, like, everything I've heard, this casino story, someone's got to get to the bottom of that. Someone's got to get to the bottom of what exactly happened there, because I think a lot of blame is being put on the Cardinals, and it might be all completely unwarranted, because everything I've heard is that, especially starting in Milwaukee, I mean, they have tried to do everything right in order to stop this thing from spreading. And yesterday there's another positive test. And it's got to be maddening, and it's got to make you feel so frustrated if you're, one of their guys, that they feel like they're doing everything right, and yet this stupid virus keeps spreading. So I don't know. I don't know. The lesson is, I guess, keep it from getting in the front door, because once it does, it is a problem. And if the other clubs can keep it from getting in their front door, you saw how serious the Indians were with Zach Plesac. He went out in Chicago, which is whatever. Young, I guess, just chalk it up to youth. They sent him home and said goodbye. We'll see you in however many days. You have to stop it from getting in the front door. So I don't know what's going to happen there, Bart. It's hard. Can 29 teams play and one doesn't? That doesn't seem tenable.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't think the Cardinals should forfeit games because it's, this is a virus that we have no control over. But then I also don't think, like, what, you know, these are the Cardinals, so what's going to happen? They're going to play 20 less games and then somehow have an advantage from that and make the playoffs because they have a better winning percentage over Milwaukee by 3 points.
That would be 20 games would be too much for me to do that. But what is the number? I have no idea. I guess the thing I was saying is I hope people have a little bit of empathy for what they're going through and not just say like, oh, it's their fault because they've seen a tweet that says they went to a casino with nothing to back that up. So I don't know. I wish we could know more about the full story of what exactly, how that got in their front door. And even if we do know how it got in the door, I just wish there was less blame and more kind of empathy for how maddening and challenging this must be for them. And the fact that, you know, Mike Schilt said yesterday, some guys have had to go to the ER. Like, they are having, you know, it's no joke. It's not just like they all tested positive and nobody's having any symptoms. This is serious for them. And I don't know. I just think about the frustration level must be off the charts for Mike Schilt and John Mozeliak and all those guys.
Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Always appreciate your time, and we'll chat again next week.
All right, Bart. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.